Nehemiah chapter number 2, what a great truth to know that no matter what God promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Man, that is a blessing to know. It's a greater thing to experience. And if you've been there, you understand. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, you're going to Nehemiah chapter number 2, but Hebrews chapter 13 says, but to do good in verse 16, and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This morning, we're going to be looking at a good work to do for the Lord. It is good to serve the Lord. We can do a lot of things with our life, and time spent serving God is never a wasted time. And praise the Lord that God gives us opportunity to serve Him. I like that last song, one of the last two songs, I was just a wretch, and He saved me. Man, some of our lives before we met the Lord, there's been a dramatic change after coming to Christ. And thankful for that. Some of you got saved young and had just been around church things all your life, grew up in the nursery, grew up in Sunday school, and maybe you have lived a testimony that, well, praise the Lord, you kept clean a bit. And then there's the other side of the spectrum of just went and sowed wild oats, if you would, and those things grew. That's what happens when you plant seeds like that. And even still, God, who is rich in His mercy and rich in grace, saved you. And here you are today, life completely different from where He found you that day. Thankful no matter where your path was. I'm glad you came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and that's not the case, man, today's the day to get in. Hey, if this is nothing about this. We'll get there in a minute. But if you were to die today and you don't know where you'd go, or if you say, yeah, I know where I'm going to go, and I'm going to split hell wide open, you understand that doesn't have to be your destination. God has paved the way for you, not because you're a good person, quite the opposite. Couldn't do it on your own. Praise the Lord for God's great gift of salvation. Hebrews 13, 16 again, but to do good and communicate, forget not. God desires that we would do something that pleases Him, for which sacrifices God says He is well pleased. In Nehemiah chapter number 2, Wednesday night we were in Nehemiah. We were towards the end, but today, as I told you Wednesday night, we're getting the cart before the horse, but here's the horse, or maybe the cart. I forget kind of where it all goes. But even still, Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse 17, as I wrote in the bulletin this morning, this is Israel's in captivity. There's been some that stay in the land to just keep it from going wild. There's a number of people there, and we're told about those people. But there's a man by the name of Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer for the king, and he gets word that the walls of Jerusalem are down, and it so grieves his heart. So grieves his heart that the king recognizes him and said, what's wrong? And he tells him, well, I'll send you to go fix that, and I'll give you resources to do it. So this is Nehemiah coming into Jerusalem with that information coming in. And the Bible says in verse 17, then said I unto them, Nehemiah is a unique book in that it's almost written from first person. Many a times, Nehemiah, the author, is in the story and he references himself. So that's the I here. He says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and God, our desire is to do something that honors and glorifies you with our life, to serve you in a way that, as the scripture said in Hebrews 13, that it would please you. God, help us to live for you, help us to use our time and our resources for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray you'd stir in our hearts here today, very similar to how you did in theirs in this passage. And God, I pray that we'd be closer drawn to Thee, and I pray that You'd meet the needs that are here today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful for the Word of God, thankful that we can open up the Word of God, and it gives us guidance and direction for our life. Nehemiah comes, he has resources, he's in Jerusalem, and he's got a plan, but what he doesn't have are workers. And he says, all right, here, let me lay it out. He has a business meeting, a board meeting. He's got drawings. He's got time schedules. You've sat in maybe those meetings. And there he is, and he's presenting this, and he says pretty much, all right, who's with me? Man, you think Nehemiah was a little nervous? Sure. Here he comes, he walks into Jerusalem, he's made the great sacrifice, he's taken the time to weep and pray and sought God, and here he is with the resources. Here come the truckloads of stone, and here comes the things that they need to do, and it's a vision of Nehemiah's, but he's got to get everybody on the same page. And look at verse 17, it says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, presenting the thought, presenting the idea. Here, let's do this for the Lord. This is what is needed. This is what is necessary. And he says, all right now, anybody, please? Verse 18, the next verse. I told them of the hand of my God. He tells them the story, he says, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And here's the response that he had been praying for. And they said, let us rise up and build. It was no longer just the vision and the desire that God placed something in Nehemiah's heart. Nehemiah presents it to the people and he says, hey, look at the needs that are before us. Look at what's going on around us. Hey, we got to rally together. We have got to work together and build this wall. But they didn't have to. And they respond after hearing his heart and after hearing what God has done in his life. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this. Look at what it says. For this good work. Again, may I remind us of Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for what sacrifices God is well pleased. Hey, we've said this over and over again. If we're going to do something for the Lord, if we're going to dedicate our life to the use of God, it's going to take something. Say, it's going to take manpower. It's definitely going to take manpower, and we're going to talk about that. It's going to take resources. It's going to take resources. It's going to take sacrifice. And when those people raised their hand and said, Nehemiah, we're in, they just signed up for a building project that was going to not go, listen, this is going to surprise some of you, not go as expected. Not everybody's going to be on board. Man, you take a stand for the Lord and you think, man, who's going to stand against that? I got God on my side. I got the resources. We got the time. We got the people. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people that come by and say, you shouldn't be doing that. What do you think you are coming into here building these? Man, it looks like a fox could knock that thing down. Discouragement, real life. And you make a stand for God and you desire to do things for the Lord and you have a desire in your heart to build. Hey, I want to encourage you, rally together with those that also do. Lock arms with those that say, you know what, as for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. Find those people. Oh, it's easy to find the critics. It's easy to find those people that are downplaying anything good from God. But find those that are saying, you know, let us rise and build. Hey, it's going to take sacrifice, but let's sacrifice together. A desire to build. If you desire, so for instance, in building the wall here, you need tools. Before I was in the ministry or before I worked here at the school, I did chimney work. I worked with, where usually Ray is over here. They're in Sunday school. Where did Ray go? All right. Ray's father-in-law and his uncle and worked there. And I brought some. I went out to the garage this morning. Bad idea to go in the garage after you put your dress clothes on. But here you are. And I appreciate. The lows. Sam wanted to know if I was preaching on the highs and lows of Christianity. I said, no, no. And you know, it says do it right. And you know, I was telling him, I said, you do it right or you do it twice. He says, do it right or get fired. I was like, wow, you are a strict boss. But so I brought some of my tools in, and these are still, I mean, it's been 25 years or so, and but they're still, you buy a good tool, it'll last a while. And a lot of bricks happened, were laid as a result of this. It's been a long time. Thankful, got to do chimney work for 8 years. Rain, snow, sleet, blazing sun, all that kind of stuff. And you learn to work around that. You learn to work in plastic. Thankfully, never fell off a roof. And thankful for that. Had some real near misses. Should have died a couple times, but I'm glad I didn't. Yeah, there's stories I could tell you, but that's for the teen class, all right? They like those. They're wow, you know. And so this is a trowel, and this does a number of things. You mix up mud and you lay that through, and so that's very helpful. I have a couple other tools here. Sorry, it's been a little while since I've used these. Thankfully. So this is a slicker. So this, when you make a mud joint, you pack it in there because you need the mortar in there nice and tight. And then you use this to smooth it out and get that nice right round concave joints in that. And, you know, handling mortar all the time and your hands would get real dry and you gotta, because the mortar just takes the moisture out of your hands and they just crack all the time and that. But after a while, you man up and you just get through that. This is a hammer, obviously, but this isn't for destruction. You wouldn't tear down, for us, we wouldn't tear down a chimney with this. This is way too small. And we would use sledgehammers, we would use air hammers and stuff, and say, what was this for? This was for breaking bricks. So I could take a cord brick in my hand so bricklaying, the corners got to be perfect, but within, you get a little wiggle room, if you will. And it doesn't actually have to be exact all the time. And that's what those other tools kind of hide a little bit. And so you take that brick, and if I needed a half a brick, I could just take it, score it across one side, flip it over, score it across the other side, hit it one time with that, and it would crack right where I made those scores. And this was a helpful thing. So as I was laying brick, I would be up there, and I'd have my bucket of tools and my stuff on the side, and I was constantly handling those things. I brought another little, this is very important. People don't like it when you lay walls or make chimneys that aren't level. Say, how do you know that? Because I've had to tear them down. I was new, we were young, and it was very high up. And so we had to tear that one. I remember it, and they were a weird family. Anyways, okay, so we wouldn't use this level. We had big long levels, and the longer you can go, the better. But sometimes we would have a 2 foot level or a little level like this, and we would use this stuff all the time. These are helpful tools. Helpful tools in building, and when I read in the book of Nehemiah that they were building, I thought, hey, I remember that. I remember, so I would be up on the roof or I would be at the ground and building things up, and I had a guy, a helper, and he was a great helper, and still friends with him today. And he would come, and as I was laying brick, he would feed me. Say, what does that mean? Give me sandwiches? No, that would have been nuts. We should have incorporated that. But no, he would bring the brick by and he would lay it strategically around where I needed to be, so I didn't have 150 brick over here and I was working over here. The goal was to keep the guy building as much as you can. So he would have a bucket of water ready for me. He would have a good mortar ready. You can't make all the mortar for the day or else it'll get dry. He would keep it at the right consistency. He would bring it up to me sometimes. So I would be on the roof and I would be building and doing all of that, and he's going back and forth taking the trash away and whatever mess I make, and he's keeping the work site clean, and man, he was really valuable to me. Although I was maybe the crew chief and I was in charge and I was building, if it wasn't for the helpers, not much would have got done. Because if every time I had to stop what I was doing and go back down and get more supplies, well, the work would stop. And then if mortar dries, and hey, I'm just saying, there was a group of people here that when they said, all right, we're all in, not everybody got to lay the brick, but everybody had a part in the thing. And there's some good tools that build. At the same time, and we're not gonna spend time on this thought, but there's also tools that we use to destroy things. And the devil uses things in our life. Hey, God desires to build some things in your life. He desires to build our homes. God desires to build our homes, our churches, our own personal walk with the Lord. And if God has tools to build in our life, don't you know that the devil also has tools that are looking to not build but to destroy? I wouldn't use a 3-pounder, a 10-pound sledgehammer to just on the finished product. I would use this to maybe tap a brick gently in. But you use the wrong tool at the wrong place and you're causing damage. And the devil wants that. Hey, he wants that for your home. He wants that for the church. He wants you out. He wants you disheartened. He wants you bitter. He wants you angry. He wants you doubting the things of God. And that's his toolbox. But God had a toolbox also. And he brought in some tools in our life to help us, as the scripture says, let us rise and build. And if we're going to do that for the honor and glory of God, it's going to, what I see from this passage, four key commitments. Number one, there's got to be a mental commitment. Say, a mental commitment? What are you talking about? Look at Nehemiah chapter number 4, just a page later, chapter and a half later. Nehemiah chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And the Bible says this, for the people had a mind to work. In the past, I had a really good helper, and then there was a guy that lied on his resume. You know what I mean? Honestly, I couldn't believe it. Didn't know how to read. This is a grown man. Didn't know how to read a tape measure. And I said, because we would do wood framing and things, and I would ask him, I say, okay, I need a board, 36 and a quarter inches. And when you're building frames, that's the size of it. If it's too big or too small, that just doesn't work. And if we're going to build a concrete slab on top of something, that thing's got to be exact. And so I'd say 36 and a quarter. And he would come back with the tape measure out like this. He goes, which line is that? I said, ooh, that's not going to work. He was there when I first started, and we'd be working, and hey, where's the, and this guy, and he was sitting in the back of the truck, just not doing anything. Didn't have a mind to work. Say, did you try and teach? Oh, tried to teach him 1,000 times, but even after 6 months, didn't know the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. I say, really? Yes. That's frustrating. Kind of funny because you can send him for the left-handed screwdriver, and he'll go looking. But that was different. Didn't have a mind to work. Was always looking for opportunities to get out of work. Hey, why'd the wall get accomplished in 56 days? For the people had a mind to work. Hey, if we're going to do something for the Lord, do you understand it takes a mental commitment of having a mind to work for the Lord. If we're going to rise and build for the things of God, whether it be our homes, whether it be the church house, or just us personally in our walk with God, it's going to take a mental commitment. Because there will be ridicule. We'll talk about that in a minute. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Number one, a mind to work. Are you warm in here? Is it a little warm? Like a minute ago, like it was like freezing, so I bumped it up 1 degree. The difference between 70 and 71 is the difference between the freezer and a very hot place. And so there you are. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before." 2 Corinthians 8:10. "For herein I give my advice, and for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be," look at what it says, "to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be performance also out of that which ye have." Do you understand that there's a connection between our determination and our mental, hey, I'm going to stick with this, whether it gets easy or whether it's hard or regardless, I'm going to stick with it. Do you see that there's a performance at the end of that? Look at verse 12. "For if there be first a," what? "Willing mind, it is acceptable. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Hey, if we're going to do something for the Lord, and if God says, "All right, this is the direction I want you to go," and we say, "All right, we'll build that way," it's going to take a mental commitment. It's going to take a willingness of mind, knowing what is ahead, moving forward. Again, a willing mind. Luke chapter number 14. On his way over, Nehemiah needed to do some calculations. Hey, there is some... Let me say this. Serving the Lord, living by faith, is exciting. What does it do? It moves mountains. It gets you out of the boat. It builds an ark. It parts the water. It does all of that. But may I say there is... And maybe this is just Pastor Rooster talking, but I'm pretty sure I can... We'll see it here in Scripture. There is some value in preparation also. All right? And I love living by faith, and I think we should do that. But I also think that it's wise to count the cost, as the Bible says. In Luke chapter number 14, verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he had sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Hey, we don't want that. We want to be able to finish. So we have to mentally consider that. Hey, what is, and I want you to understand this. This is the counting of the cost. If I'm going to serve the Lord, it's going to cost me something. That's just the reality of it. Hey, if I'm going to serve God with my life, and if I'm going to try and get involved in what God is building and get behind the things of the Lord and adjust my life to what God says, you understand it's going to cost you something. So I don't know I want to do that. Hey, get in on that. But be prepared for that. There's a mental commitment that was involved. They had, in Nehemiah, if they were going to build the wall, they had the tools, they had the resources, but you know what they needed? They needed a mind to work. And if we come in and out of church and go, "All right, what has church got for me today? What has church got for me today? What has God got for me?" And I understand there's seasons of times, and sometimes just making it to church is a fight, and making it to Bible reading time and prayer time, hey, there's a lot of obstacles you got to overcome to get there. But eventually... it's about serving the Lord. And God, what can I do for you? Hey, be ready for that mentally. Be prepared for that. Number two, yes, there was a mental commitment. Then there was a financial commitment. Say, "Oh, I knew he was going to talk about money." All right, here we go. Nehemiah chapter number 7. Nehemiah chapter number 7, look at verse 68. Say, are we really going to read this? Yeah, we're going to read this. Nehemiah chapter number 7, verse 68. Their horses, 736. Say, what are we reading? All the things that they gave to the work of God. 736 horses, their mules, 245. Nehemiah chapter number 7 and verse 69, their camels, 435, 6,720 asses, and some of the chief of the fathers gave unto the work, the Tereshath, gave to the treasure 1,000 drams of gold, 50 basins, 530 priest garments. Some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasurer of the work 20,000 drams of gold and 2,200 pounds of silver. That's a lot of silver. Now, which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams. Hey, not just the leadership, it was everybody. 20,000 drams of gold. 67 priest garments. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims. When you see Nethinims, just think in your head, they were the helpers. And all Israel dwelt in their cities, and when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. How did they accomplish the work of God? Well, someone was willing to make a sacrifice financially. Their horses, their camels, their mules. Here, God, this is what you've given me, but you can use it for your work. Hey, if it's going on in the work of God, that means the horse wasn't plowing the ground back home. You know what that is? That's a sacrifice. Hey, if I give to God's work, that means I'm going to miss out. This is what they did. We all want the walls built. We all want to rise and build. We all want the things of God. But it does take a financial commitment too. It takes a mental commitment. They had a mind to work. Number two, it had a financial commitment. There was a cost. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Have you ever said that to the Lord? God, I'll go wherever you send me. Joe is still pushing hard for Alaska. No, I don't want to go to Alaska. It's cold. If the Lord wants us to go to Alaska, Joe, he'll take us to Alaska. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. So what are you saying? Hey, there was a financial commitment. There was a cost. Serving the Lord costs something. Say, was it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. 100%. It's not a cost, Jacob. It's an investment. Yeah, there was how many horses and how much gold, but you know what? When the walls were done and they were sitting inside of the city of Jerusalem in safety, worshiping at the temple together, and Ezra opens up that book as we saw, man, I'm glad I gave to that. It was hard. It cost something I had to do without, but I sure am glad the work of God continued. It's a financial commitment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's see that investment. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 19, sorry. No. Hold on. 2 Thessalonians. Wait, I'm going to find it. Hold on. It's chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye? I don't know. Is it worth it? Is it worth investing in the Lord? Justin, stand up for me. Just stand up for a second. I so appreciate Justin. Is it worth investing in the bus ministry? Justin, is it worthwhile? Yes. Yes, it is. Miss Kathy? Yes, it is. Thank you. Appreciate that. Isn't it worth studying and doing all that? Yeah, there's kids in Sunday school right now hearing about Jesus. Is it worth investing in the Spanish ministry? You know how much it costs to print those Spanish? Yeah, there's a service going on right now up in the chapel that you and I would not understand. Well, most of us. Yeah, it's worth it. Because there's a who. There's a ye. Are even ye. When the time happens, man, that financial commitment's tough. The mental commitment is tough. But the investment is worthwhile because there's something eternal we're about. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. In verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Do you understand that you're investing in something that doesn't have a 1-year return or a 5-year return or a 10-year return or a 100-year return? You are investing in something that has an eternal return. There's nothing more valuable. Yeah, it's worth it. The investment is worthwhile. Philippians chapter number 3. So let us rise and build. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This is Paul talking. And he says this. He says, the things that were used, that were consumed for me, do you understand that it was loss for Christ? It was almost worthless. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Those are pretty strong words. He says the thing that mattered most are the investments that I made, the suffering, the investments that I made for the cause of Christ. Everything else, trash. Let us rise and build. It's going to take a mental commitment. It will take a financial commitment. It's going to take a physical commitment. You know, in that passage in Nehemiah, there was opposition. There was ridicule. There was mocking. There was discouragement. Hey, did you ever get discouraged serving the Lord? Hey, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah, but sometimes, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but sometimes it's discouraging. You try and do right, and you try and live right, and you make sacrifice, and sometimes people come by and ridicule and criticize. And you know what that does? It deflates my heart. Say, that's not right. You should be stronger. I get it, but I'm just telling you, reality of life. Go back to Nehemiah. There is a discouragement. There is a ridicule that does bother us, right? But there's also something worth fighting for. That's why we don't quit. When I was doing chimney work, and there I was, and I would look ahead on the forecast, and I'd see freezing rain, and I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that. I don't like the thought of standing, wind gusts. There were times when standing on the, man, I remember we were right over off of East Avenue, big house, we had scaffolding, and one of those temperature-changing winds was coming through. You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's nice today. And then all of a sudden, the wind takes a weird turn, and you feel that cold front just like all of a sudden. And then you look in the sky, and it's like black. And you're like, yeah, we're going to pack up. We're doing that. My helper, he was grabbing a couple things. He was about 25 feet up, and on scaffolding, we'd use scaffolding all the time. I was at the ground, and we're running buckets down, and just a street over, thunder and lightning struck. And when thunder and lightning are that close, it is simultaneous. And normally we hear thunder, and then it's, or you see lightning, and then you count. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. And for every second that you count, that's how many miles away it is. There was no time in between the thunder and the flash of lightning. And when it's one street over, that's very close, Jacob. So the helper at the top, we had a pulley system, and his idea, when that thing snapped and the whole neighborhood lit up with brightness and a sound that shakes you to the core, he about jumps off the top of the scaffolding and is going to use the rope on the pulley to get himself down. And I'm at the bottom and I'm looking at him about to make the leap and I'm like, no, stop. Stop, come down, use the ladder and come down. And there were days like that. And you'd see storm coming and you're like, yeah, I'm looking at my work order and we got to be out here. Or you get those snow gusts and we're going house to house and going to, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or at least today. I remember Pastor Huber and I, we would call each other regularly. And he would call me on the bad days, the snowy, windy, cold days. How's it going out there? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I would get to call him, though, on the sunny and 70 days when he would go in and it was dark and he would leave and it was dark and he would miss all. How's it going inside the cubicle today? But there are days that it was not nice. Hey, there are days when you're serving the Lord and it's like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Why am I doing this? I'm here to tell you there was something. The paycheck at the end of the week, I had a family to try and support and things to do for the Lord. All right, there's something worth fighting for. There's something worth working towards. And there's things when we're serving the Lord and that discouragement hits and that ridicule hits. Hey, you're going to have a physical commitment of, I'm going to stick with this. Look at verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Why? Because there was real ridicule coming. Remember the Lord. And that's what we need. As we're serving God, hey, listen, I know it's tough right now. I know people are mocking what you're doing. I know you feel discouraged and wondering, is this really worth the commitment? And God reminds us with these sweet words, hey, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. And when you're doubting whether you keep serving and you keep pushing, hey, is this really worthwhile? Can I encourage you here today? Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And look at what it says. And fight for your brethren. Hey, there's an empty seat up here. Say, why is that? I wonder if there's somebody out there just waiting for someone to come and fight for them. Fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Hey, there will be opposition, but what is needed is all hands on deck. Go with me back one chapter, chapter 3 and verse 8. When I was reading through this, this stood out to me. I was reading it early in the morning, and you know early morning head fog? You know what I'm talking about with that? Like you're not all there. You haven't had coffee yet. You haven't had to talk to anybody yet, so you still had that weird voice, and you're reading it, and it's like, what did I just read? Jacob, do you ever have that? No, you're sharp. You're sharp all the time. Benjamin, you had that. All right, good. But look at chapter 3 and verse 8. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harhiah, of the goldsmiths. You know what that just said to me? I had to read it a couple times. I'm like, am I getting this right? There's a guy building. There he is with trowel, laying block, maybe feeding, mixing mortar, by trade, a goldsmith. It says there, as we keep reading, there's another builder. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall. You know what they, hey, today I'm not a goldsmith. Today I'm not working with the herbs and the spices and all of that. No, today we're all building. Hey, there was a physical commitment. Well, that's just not what I do. Today it is. Amen. Today it is. There's a physical commitment. Why? Because all hands need to be on deck. Because there's something worth fighting for. Colossians chapter number 3. Say, are you almost done? How many of these commitments are there? There's four. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 23. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Remember the Lord. Maybe underline that in the passage. Because we serve God. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." It's going to take a mental commitment. It's going to take a financial commitment. But it's also going to take a physical commitment. I need you to show up. Hey, there's a Sunday school class that needs a teacher. There's a community that needs the gospel. So, yeah, what are we going to do about that? I'm so glad you asked that. The last couple weeks of March, here's something that I would like to do. We have it in place. Last couple weeks of March, I would like to raise some extra funds for our own personalized John and Romans. It has a 4-page track in the back. It'll have a map to our church and our church information on the front, a custom cover. So it has the book of John, it has the book of Romans with our own custom information on the outside. We'll put like some fall scene because that's what we love about Western New York. There's something like that. We're working on it. They're 20 cents a book. So if I do the math, and he said the minimum order is $5,000, so that would be $1,000. So if as a church we could raise $1,000, that would allow us to print our own John and Romans with a custom cover for our own community that need the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't let us rise and build. It's going to take a mental commitment. It'll take a financial commitment, but it would also take a physical commitment. So that's just money. And then Mother's Day weekend, now not the Sunday, but the Friday night, they're all going to show up here, whatever we buy. And remember Scott Sandy, remember when he came? And instead of making Spanish John and Romans that we send to another part of the world, we'll make John and Romans that stay right here at Walker Bible Baptist Church. And we'll buy the books and we'll assemble the books ourselves. And then June, July, and August, distribute the books to our neighborhoods. We're going to put a pin on our church and draw a circle and see how far out we can get with 5,000 John and Romans. And on Saturday mornings, we'll meet for prayer, and we have some special days scheduled for bus ministry, focusing in on bus ministry over the summer. But this summer, we're going to have our own John and Romans that we could take door to door to people. Say, is that worthwhile? The book of John, the word of God in someone's hands. This isn't just a gospel track. There's a 4-page gospel track at the end. But this could change the course of someone's eternity. What do we need? We don't just need financial commitment, but we need actual physical commitment. Say, what is that? Assembling the books. Hey, that's a great time. Remember that? Dust all over the place, the cutter, and Jason, remember doing that? And you weren't here for that? Oh, okay, I was going to say, I thought you were running the, yeah. And we did, how many did we do, Jay? Do you remember? I think it was 20,000. I think we did 20,000 in 2 days. He says, if we're just doing 5,000, we should be able to do it Friday night. But whatever we raise those last 2 weeks of March, special offering for it, all right? This is above tithes, and whatever we raise, we're going to put into those books and then distribute this summer. What a great opportunity to rise and build, to get involved. Buying the John and Romans, assembling the John and Romans, distributing the John and Romans. Hey, be the worker. Be the salt. Be the light. What? Fight for the souls of man. Ephesians chapter number 6. Listen, I believe this 100% through the scriptures. I believe that God gives man a free will. But at the same time, I believe he was working in people's hearts to draw them to him. And if we can have those two things meet, I can't save anybody, but I sure do want to give someone an opportunity to hear the gospel, maybe for the first time. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, and I really don't know. But I do think this, that we're responsible for the area that he's put us. He didn't put us there just by accident. Walkabout Baptist Church is, I believe this with all my heart, the best church in Walker. It is. It's the best church. 100%. But we're responsible for our community. We should at least give him an opportunity. I don't think God's hands off on, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And putting the word of God in someone's hands could change everything for them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, fight for the souls of men. There's a real battle going on. And just like we have tools to build, the enemy has tools too. And he doesn't want the word of God going out, I'll tell you that. But I just think, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Lastly, quickly, Nehemiah chapter number 4. So if you can just maybe pencil in or write in on your calendar that Friday and maybe Saturday, he thinks we can do it all Friday, but if we need to Saturday morning to assemble those scriptures, that would be a help. Last 2 weeks of March, we'd like to raise some funds for that, whatever we get. We need at least $1,000, and everyone can get involved. A dollar is five John and Romans. That's five houses. $1. You cannot even buy a Reese's peanut butter cup for $1. Say, how do you know? I've tried. It's like $1.29 now. Cup of coffee? Are you kidding? Starbucks is like $6. Say, why do you go there? Because it's delicious. But $6? That's 30 houses. A little goes a long way. If we all chip in, say, Pastor, listen, they're not saying it, but it's recession. Have you seen egg prices? Have you seen gas prices? Have you seen my income? Have you seen the thing? I get it. But let us rise and build. There's some eternal things worth investing in. I don't think you break the principles of God. I don't think it's a good idea to go to your local ESL with a ski mask and a gun and say, hey, this is for the Lord. Give me all the money. We're buying John and Romans. I don't think you violate the principles of the scriptures. But can we make a sacrifice and give? Can we contend for the souls of men? I don't know. I just think that if there you are standing at a door talking to someone with the John and Romans that you invested and sacrificed financially in, but also at the same time assembled as a church, and now you're distributing that, it's going to just mean something. When I see why in the book of Nehemiah did they constantly say, okay, this is what this guy built and this is what this guy built? I wonder if he brought his grandchildren by and said, see that pillar there? I built that. Say, he didn't do that. I drive around the city and I tell my children the chimneys that I have fixed. Sam, Joe, right? I worked at that house. Worked at that house. It's been 25 years. Nehemiah Nehemiah chapter. I don't do that anymore. So if you ask me, like, hey, can you come fix that? No, that's gone. Nehemiah chapter number 4, look at verse 8. Our last point. Say, you went long. This was a special message this morning, to my heart at least. It's not normally like this. If you're visiting, man, we've had a slew of visitors. Appreciate the Wessons over here. We got Miss Deborah over here. We got, I'm going to miss somebody. Miss Josephina over here. How are you? Great. Okay. I didn't mean to say your name. But thankful for that. We got, tell me your name. Is it Laura? How about that? Very good. We got the Nortons. I know Debbie. I was talking to Laura back there. All right, very good. We've had a slew of people. This isn't normally, say, I've been here twice, and this is how you always are. All right, very good. I've been here a month. I've been here 20 years, and this is how you always are. Okay, Nehemiah chapter number 4. Let us not ridicule one another, but encourage each other. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse 8, and we're almost done, and conspired all of them to come together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Hey, please understand that when you sign up for the things of God and say, we're going to do the work of the Lord, not everybody's in on that. Say, I'm going to experience hindering? Yeah, there's possible. They're just trying to build the wall. And people hindered it. How did they answer that? Look at verse 9. This is what I want to draw our attention to, because this will be so vital to anything that we do for the Lord. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. The spiritual commitment. We saw a mental commitment. We saw a financial commitment. We saw an actual physical commitment where we actually need workers. But here's spiritual commitment. The way we combat opposition is prayer. Prayer. To walk in the Spirit. To cut down or cut out things that cater to the flesh. Philippians chapter number 4. We'll just look at a couple verses here. Philippians chapter number 4. The spiritual commitment. Oh, it's just folding books. It doesn't matter if I walk, but I could watch whatever I want. I could drink whatever I want the night before. It does not matter. Oh, it matters to God. It matters, all right. Hey, if we're doing the work of the Lord, do your best to walk in the Spirit. Philippians chapter number 4. In verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and, hey, what was our first point? And minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, how am I going to stick with that mind to work? Because there's things that go on up here that aren't good. Through prayer. There's no other solution. When they met with opposition, they said, and we prayed unto our God. When met with opposition, the greatest answer is prayer. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 6, almost last verse. Praying always in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We said it was worth fighting for. It was an eternal investment. And the connection between the saints and the perseverance and sticking with it and not quitting was prayer for all saints. The importance of prayer. You can pray anywhere. But do you know, as a church, we meet on Wednesday nights collectively and pray for one another. Pray for the work of God. Pray for our friends. And we heard Wednesday night, a missionary that was taken captive. Do you know Thursday he was let go? Praise the Lord. Kidnapped. Beaten. Let go Thursday. Say, connection? You draw the connections. I'm just saying, the work of God requires prayer. Well, you know, midweek, it's tough to get to. As a church body, as a unit, as a family, we pray together. Yeah, sure, we pray for ailments. We pray for the lost. How do you overcome opposition? Through prayer. Last bit. Nehemiah chapter number 2. The verse that we looked at first. Nehemiah 2:18. Bible says in Let us rise and build at the end of the verse. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that we... Go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. I want you to see it. This is our last verse. After this verse, you can close your Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not. Hey, that's what we need, right? Not to quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. It's worthwhile. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Man, I remember that first time I started in a chimney company. I was the helper. Man, I remember that first day I had to haul brick up to the top of the scaffolding. And all that mortar, whoo, I was sore. But you do it over and over again and you strengthen your hands. Laying brick all day, man, that first time, second time, first week, second week. But after a while, your hands get stronger. You could just break bricks in my hand. No, that wasn't true. But carrying an 80-pound bag of concrete, first day was tough. After a while, it wasn't light, but you could do it. What happened? You were strengthened. Renewed day by day. Well, I got enough to get me through the week. No, you don't. I got enough to make it through the hour. No, you don't even. We need the Lord. Hey, we need to be strengthened spiritually. If they needed to strengthen their hands to build the wall, we personally need the strength of God to do what it is that He's asked us to do. That we would keep our heart and our mind right. That we would not be so tied to our finances. That we'd not be willing to sacrifice. That we wouldn't show up. Wouldn't that be a shame that here we are Friday and we're ready to assemble scriptures and what a sad thing if no one came. I know that's not going to be the case. I'm just saying, imagine God had something to do and no one showed up. Now we need to strengthen spiritually. Let's all stand. You've been sitting a long time. I understand that. But the scripture says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Hey, this morning, if I could encourage you, maybe you make that that mental commitment that I'm going to have a willing mind to work. I'm in. I'm in on the things of God. God, I want to see you build stuff. I'm tired of this world destroying everything that is good. I want to be part of what God is building. I want to be part of building a home for the Lord. I want to walk with God personally. I want to be part of a church that's reaching the lost. I'm in. Nehemiah presented it. It was the people that responded that said, let us. It's not just Nehemiah. They all got in on it. Maybe here this morning you had a renewed commitment. God, mentally, financially, physically, and spiritually, I want to make that commitment to rise and build. I know it'll take that. I know it's going to be difficult along the way, but with my brothers and sisters, and through your power and through your strength, God, at the end of all of this, in eternity, it'll be worthwhile. Lord, help me see it through. If you're like, no one looking around, but if you're like that here this morning, and just uplifted hand, hey, pray for me. I want to get in on the things of God. Anybody like that here this morning, pray for me. Yep, hands all over. All right. Appreciate that. What can I do? Will you come down and how about you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm in. I want to rise and build. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. God, that you be honored and glorified with all that is said and done. God, our desire is to serve you wholeheartedly. This isn't for our own personal gain. God, this is for you. Lord, I pray that we make that commitment for you. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?